Welcome to the Connected Insurance Podcast, presented by Agency Revolution. Listen to interviews with the most influential people in the insurance industry. Learn the most important strategies, tactics, trends, and challenges facing today's independent insurance agents and brokers. New episodes every Wednesday. Visit agencyrevolution.com and click media to explore the Connected Insurance family of resources for insurance agents and brokers. Subscribe today and get updates delivered right to your inbox. And now, without further delay, the Connected Insurance Podcast.
Welcome to the Connected Insurance Podcast, brought to you by Agency Revolution, where we automate your systems, engage your customers, and grow your agency or brokerage. Today, we switch seats and we let Michael Janz do some of the, more of the talking. I'm going to ask him some questions. I know he's been out in the industry, widely thought of as one of the industry's thought leaders, knows a lot, been around for a little while. And welcome, Michael.
Thank you very much. Good to be here.
So, Michael, let me ask you a question. I know you're spending a lot of time thinking about the state of the industry and what that means for agents and brokers. How do you feel about what they're facing today?
That's a great question. And so we're going to spend the next 20 or so minutes talking about that. But I'll give sort of a brief overview and how I arrive at that. Probably not everybody is aware of the fact that I'm not the CEO of Agency Revolution. I've sort of been elevated or graduated or something to become executive chair. And what that has allowed me to do is get out of the time-consuming day-to-day operations and really spend time doing what I love doing, which is researching, examining, thinking, testing, probing, talking, listening, and being I spend a tremendous amount of my time reading the research that's being presented on the industry right now and talking to the people who are delivering that research. So I feel like I have the greatest job in the world, and I feel like I have an obligation to take what I'm observing right now and find a way to package that so that it makes a difference to agents and brokers. And so I want to be very straightforward, very honest about my answer to your question about how I feel about it. I think that there, unequivocally, there is absolutely no question in my mind that the period that is coming is going to be different than anything we've experienced before. I think that after serving agents for almost 25 years and loving agents and brokers as much as I do, I get to be a little critical about performance. And number two, I probably have an obligation to tell the truth the way I see it. And so I think that, you know, it's kind of like, you know, here in Central Oregon on the Deschutes River, we've got a few class three and class four and maybe class five rapids. Some people are going to take their kayak or their raft through those rapids and do just fine, and some of them are going to get spilled. I think that's kind of what we're facing, is that in the next few years, the more skillful operators are going to be fine, and they're probably going to win and grow and get more market share. But I also think that we're going to be facing some turbulence, and those who are wishing for the old days are not going to get the old days, and the old practices are not going to work. So I think we're going to see a period where the winners and the losers get separated.
What do you mean by that? Like, what is going to cause those changes? Let's start with the consumer itself. What are some of the things that consumers are doing differently today that impacts the independent channel?
All right. Well, that's a great question, and I think that's the thing that that's the driving force that changes everything. And because of changes in consumer behavior, which are largely driven by changes in technology and their interaction with technology, then other changes are going to happen. So I'll get to that in a moment. But it's interesting you asked about changes in consumer behavior. I've been asked to keynote a presentation in California for insurance company executives, and I'm speaking on the topic of changes in consumer behavior. It's a topic that, with which I'm pretty familiar, and one that I've spoken about a number of times. So as I was thinking about getting ready for it, I realized that if my research was more than 2 or 3 months old, I probably have had to update it which I did. So I'll share with you a few. And no doubt, if somebody is listening to this conversation 2 or 3 months, some of these numbers are going to be old because they keep growing.
This podcast expires in 60 days.
So let me share a few things that I think are really important, and I won't cite every source because each one of these comes from most of these are coming from a different source. And so to get the sources, visit my blog because I write about this a great deal. 81% of consumers research online before shopping. 88% of consumers trust online reviews as much as they trust what a real person says to them, like a friend or a colleague.
Wow.
65% of the population read more than 4 reviews, between 4 and more than 52 reviews, okay? But a minimum of 4. 98.4% of the population checks their email at least once a day. So in other words, everybody reads their email. And almost 40%, 39% of the population checks their email, get this, between 10 times and, as they would put it, throughout the day. So in other words, basically, they're on their phone all day long. In fact, how much are they on the phone? 145 minutes a day. This is an average, 76 separate sessions. 87% check their phone between midnight and 5 a.m. All right? But here's one that I think is just a crazy number. So think about this one. The number of discrete touches that the average person executes on their phone. So in other words, if you're dialing a number, you're going touch, touch, touch. If you're reading something and then you click a link or something like that, you're touching it and you're swiping and so on and so forth, okay? So they counted that the average person is touching their phone discreetly 2,617 times a day. So, I can go on and on about, the fact that almost everybody's on Facebook and so on and so forth. But clearly, the change is this. I mean, if you and I were talking about this, let's say, 15 years ago, we wouldn't even know what we were talking about, right?
Right.
And now this is how people live. This is how people think. This is how people read. This is how people research and shop. And so clearly, the big change in consumer behavior is that they are digital. And they do almost everything. They either preface the activity or they perform the activity using some digital device.
So that means for yesterday's agencies that are Yellow Pages and things like that, that's gone. It's just gone.
Somewhere still on the internet is my old report, 25 Ways to Write a Killer Yellow Pages ad, but nobody's been asking for that lately.
All right, so research I'm reading is... there's been some pretty rough things said about agents and brokers lately. Do you think they're right? Do you think that's that research and that those harsh words are correct?
Yeah. Unfortunately, I do think they're right, and the reason I think they're right is they're based on science. These aren't just opinions. These comments are generally made by one of the large research or consulting firms, let's take like Forrester, okay? They do more surveys than anybody on the planet except for the U.S. Census Bureau, all right? So they're going out and they're finding out, how do people really feel? So I remember it was about a year ago, I saw an article in the New York Times and it quoted now my friend Ellen Carney from Forrester, who said, she said, there are 40,000 agencies in the U.S. You could absolutely see them shrinking by a quarter. So I reached out to Ellen, and since then we've become good professional friends. And I'm going to quote her. This is Ellen being Ellen. I'm not certain this is Ellen representing Forrester, but this is something that she shared with me. She said, right now consumers are looking for a great experience. Other industries have raised the bar for insurance carriers and agents. Consumers aren't just ready to defect, but to tell the world about their crappy experience. So we're seeing a lot of startups And they're tracking over 400 startups that are disrupting or transforming or innovating our industry. It was also about a year ago, I had a conversation with Sam Friedman, who is the lead insurance researcher for Deloitte. And then shortly after that, they published a report that said in the small commercial arena, 60% of consumers don't feel that they get value from the agent other than shopping for the policy. I thought, wow. That's when we say that the thing that we deliver that they can't get from a device or a digital relationship or an 800 number, we deliver relationship. When the consumer is saying that, obviously we're not delivering on our own promise. So last week, as I was preparing for this keynote, I went back to see if they had updated the research or if Sam had anything else to say. And they had done a survey where they ask, what's the likelihood that you would buy your commercial insurance online? You know, not likely at all, somewhat likely, so on and so forth. So between either very likely or somewhat likely, 100% of the respondents said that they would be willing to do it online. Wow. Nobody advocates more for the broker than I do. I mean, I love the channel, and I think we deliver something incredibly important to the consumer, but we have to make a change in order to make that happen.
I've heard you say many times that the money is in the relationship. That's kind of been one of your catchphrases for quite a while. How do you think today's agent is doing on relationship?
I think the industry as a whole is not doing well on that, and that is also true for the broker channel. So a while back, EY, formerly Ernst Young, reported on our industry that 44% of insurance consumers report that they have had zero interactions with their insurance provider in 18 months, and 86% of insurance consumers told them that they are not very satisfied with the communications from their insurer. So as a whole, I would say the industry is ripe for disruption, and the broker channel is, there's an impracticality here. So I want to come to the defense of the broker. We want to be in relationship with our customers. I know that's important, but as McKinsey pointed out about 4 or 5 years ago, the economics don't support it. You cannot pick up the phone or go visit every customer. I mean, let's say you've got 5,000 customers, and your average commission is $200, $300, $400. The economics don't allow for the manual labor to make outbound calls to them. Add to that the fact that there was another report from a company called MBlox that said 84% of consumers don't want your phone calls anyway. They don't want their insurance.
Right.
So that's not the way. So unfortunately, we've seen a couple of things happen. This is the time of year when all of the consulting firms are more or less, most of them are producing a report on, you know, what's the state of the industry and what does the industry have to look forward to. There are a couple of messages. There are a few messages that are really strong, but one is their message to carriers is that they believe that carriers need to take responsibility and quote unquote ownership of the customer relationship. And so I'll share this one with you. This was from EY's most recent report on global outlook for the industry. They said, quote, be ruthless with brokers who are damaging the long-term economics of your business. So, and they're not the only ones saying that. McKinsey said something very similar to that. So I think part of what we're seeing is that carriers feel like for their own customer lifetime value, their own growth, profitability, revenue, they need to take more responsibility for the customer experience, and they're not going to wait for brokers to figure out how to do it.
So that's a pretty good segue here into what I think is kind of at the crux of this whole thing, which is InsurTech and the disruption that's happening. And I kind of put you in the category of one of the very strong advocates for the independent broker channel, the independent agent channel, But let's get practical with this. What does today's agent do to win?
Well, number one, I think they have to be aware of the fact that change is coming. And so this InsurTech buzzword, it may not have felt terribly real. I mean, obviously, we've seen some brokers, digital brokers arise that are funded by InsurTech venture capital. But most people haven't. We haven't started losing a lot of customers to them yet. I think it was this morning I saw an article or a posting, and as I recall, it was from Sealant. And what they had said was about InsurTech, 2016 was a year of hype. 2017 is a year of value. So I think people are beginning to say, ah,
yeah,
you know, it it's going to become real. So number one, you know, the worst place to gauge trends and major forces is in your office. You know, so sort of like Wednesday feels like Tuesday, and Tuesday felt like Monday. You know, it's like one day kind of rolls and feels the same until boom, all of a sudden there's change. The largest conferences on the planet, I mean, not just in the United States or North America, but Europe and Asia, in the insurance industry or InsurTech conferences, and there are a lot of them, and they're getting, you know, 1,000, 2,000 people at them, and there are probably 15 or 20 that, you know, you could find fairly quickly. So number one is we just need to be aware. And then number two, we have to do that thing that, I mean, this has been my soapbox sermon for a long time. We have to create meaningful relationships and deliver ongoing value. We have to be able to do that. McKinsey put out a report fairly recently on, you know, where is the money going in InsurTech? And I think every broker needs to listen to this. They've identified 15 different categories where the InsurTech money is going, and last year it was $1.7 billion. So,
wow,
a lot of money, okay?
Yeah.
Of all of the 15 categories, the one place where the most money is going by a long shot is property and casualty distribution. Not product, not marketing, not pricing, not claims, distribution. So those of us who are in the distribution channel, the broker channel, we better be listening to that. So I would say that, you know, top sort of high-level overview to your question, you know, in a practical sense, what do we need to do? The money is clearly in the relationship. It's not in acquisition in our channel. We need to acquire customers, but you know, our standard ACOR marketing model, attract, convert, optimize, and retain customers. Agents will discover that revenue will grow faster, margins will be much higher, customer satisfaction will be higher if they focus appropriate resources on the latter stage of that customer journey. So in other words, the celebration, you know, yes, we should celebrate when we get a new customer and bells should ring and we should feel great about it.
Yep.
But we should feel really great as that customer feels like they're being guided through a customer experience or a customer journey that makes them feel like they have a provider that they love and that they are loyal to. And so that clearly, that is where the money is. I'm not going to take a lot of time on it now, but I can show the math on it. And, of course, our own clients, you know, can demonstrate in case studies that when you make deeper relationships and you continue to deliver ongoing value throughout the customer relationship, that's where your growth, that's where the greatest growth is going to be. And that's what our channel, I mean, I think agents need to think strategically. The digital channel, the emerging digital channel, they're going to be better at things that we're not good at. I mean, clearly, they're going to be in your smartphone, and you're going to be able to do things 24 hours a day in that channel that you're not going to be able to do in our channel for a while. And there are other channels like the direct channel that, frankly, if you take all of the expenses and the combined ratio, you'll discover, you know what, it's a little bit cheaper to operate. And so we're not necessarily the price channel, and I don't think we should be. we're not necessarily the convenience channel, but the strength that we build is the relationship, and we need to get back in the business of building relationships. We just need to do it the way that it happens now, not the way that we did it in the 1990s.
And that kind of feels sort of off-the-cuff question. It kind of feels like a lot of agencies sort of get stuck in the if it ain't broke, don't fix it mode because they've been doing things a certain way for 10, 20 years. Is there a, you know, let's talk about technology. And that is the thing. InsurTech's about technology. It's about disruption. But specific to the agents and brokers, how does technology solve the problem of this communication gap or whatever you want to call it?
All right. Well, technology, just like technology presented a new problem, right? So technology changed consumer behavior. And then because of that, the InsurTech world is swooping in because they see that there's a gap between the broker channel and the consumer. Technology also provides solutions. And so software does things and allows you to do things that can bring delight to, you know, to somebody's life and to the insurance customer. They can feel good about the relationship by getting this sense that you are there.
While simultaneously making the workload on their staff internally much less.
Love it. Yes, absolutely. Well, it reduces the workload. I mean, it's magic, right? This is what great software is supposed to do. It makes work less and allows you to do more. So, you know, the leverage is incredible. So there are five things that I think that are absolutely critical, and software does four of them for you, okay? But the first one is a strategic decision that needs to be taken by the leadership of the brokerage or the agency, and that is to make a decision. So first of all, you know, if somebody's listening to this and they say, all right, what Michael is saying actually kind of makes sense. My consumers are online. They're expecting a digital relationship. They're expecting me to be there like other merchants and vendors are there. So number one is we have to make a decision. Are we going to do it or not? Are we going to be there or not? So number one is obsess over the customer experience. The customer is our most valuable asset, and a loyal customer is our most valuable customer.
Right.
We have to decide, are we going to live by that? And I think historically, because this was the sort of the default channel, this was the original channel through which insurance was delivered, it allowed us to become a little bit complacent. Those days are over. Technology then allows us to do four things. Number one, after we make the decision to obsess over the customer, it allows us to go from being in our communications, from being passive to being active. So if you go to most, you know, let's say you walked into an insurance agency or brokerage right now and there were CSRs and producers maybe, you know, talking to customers. Those conversations are the result of a passive approach. We're taking inbound calls from customers. We're delivering great service to them. We're responding to them, but we are doing it in a passive way. So if we're going to be responsible and be in control of how our customers think about us and feel about us, we have to go from being passive to being active. That's number one. Number two, we have to be willing to go from one-on-one conversations to one-on-many conversations. And that doesn't mean that all the one-on-one conversations go away. Those are important. But, you know, it's like, like next week, I'm in front of a few hundred company executives and agents, and that gives me an opportunity to say something important to the entire group. Digital marketing is just like that. It allows us to say things and to deliver value that a lot of people will absorb and embrace. Next one is we have to go from in our communications to go from being missing to being meaningful. So we want to make sure, you know, just because you've got digital marketing doesn't mean you go sell, sell, sell and try to take, take, take. Advanced marketers know that the magic of marketing is not just how much you can get, it's how much you can give. So we want to deliver ongoing value throughout the year. And then ultimately, and this is the fifth step, it's we have to go from the impossible, which is delivering a meaningful communication to everybody at the right point in time, to automatic. And only technology can do that. A couple of years ago, I added up the number of sort of important life experiences that somebody might have in an agency. So let's say if a brokerage has 10,000 customers, and you added up, you know, all the new leads, new customers, birthdays, open claims, closed claims, let's say 90 days out from renewal, like those really critical touch points, I realize, you know, you could easily have 150 of those, and they fall into 7 or 8 different categories. To be able to track them manually, impossible. To be able to do them with technology, piece of cake. So technology allows us to deliver ongoing value and to create meaningful relationships in a way that is absolutely impossible in the old school way, but it allows us to create those old school relationships where people feel like we're caring about them.
So, Michael, in a nutshell, I mean, I know you've been out in the industry now and you're really engaged with all of the stuff you're getting to do now. I'm going to put you on the spot. Three things every agent or broker must read or watch or look at every morning when they get up. Not counting Agency Revolution.
Okay. that's a tough one. So if I can take a minute on this. Well, first of all, they should read my blog.
Yes,
right?
Absolutely.
That is separate. And so what I do with my blog is I take this content that I'm consuming, the conversations and the research, and I attempt to synthesize it and package it so you can use it. So, you know, hopefully each blog gives you something that you can go use. So I will say, number one, it is the Michael Jans blog. So beyond that, that's a really interesting question. I could
kind of put you on the spot.
Yeah, well, yeah, because I probably read, you know, 30 or 40 sources, and so it's a tough one. But I'll share with you how I do it briefly. A tool that every agent or broker should have is some kind of a news aggregator like Feedly, which is the one I use. So if you use that tool, so what I do first thing in the morning, first cup of coffee, open up my laptop, and I take about an hour, and I read. And so I've set my Feedly account, so I'm reading everything in insurance, everything in insure tech, and then, of course, there are things in digital marketing and software that I care about that I'm going to be reading about, all the insurance blogs. And so if you set that up, you can allow Feedly to go find some sources for you. There's so many good ones. You know, all of the major consulting firms have blogs that I think they're worth paying attention to. But if you don't want to go through all that, you know, if you follow my blog, I'll do my best to synthesize. You might definitely find Shefi Ben Huda's publication. Coverager is a really interesting way to kind of see what happened yesterday in the world of insurtech. And you know what? She's always got about three really interesting things to report. I'd say that's a really good one. Our friends at Agency Nation, you know, have a terrific blog on practical items. I think main thing is make a commitment to examine the resources, and if you set up some kind of an account like Feedly or one of the news aggregators, over time you'll discover what makes the most difference to you.
Yeah, and just so everybody that's out there, make sure you're also going to Agency Revolution. With Michael's lead, we have really put together some unbelievably talented and influential people in the industry in our podcasts, the blog series. Our Connected Insurance Minute is bite-sized chunks of information that would be good for you and your staff. We've really tried to set ourselves apart from a informational and educational perspective and have done a pretty good job. Michael, as always, I always learn something when I listen to you. Thank you so much for being on with us. We appreciate it.
Great to be here, and thanks to everybody for listening.
You were listening to the Connected Insurance Blog, brought to you by Agency Revolution. Visit agencyrevolution.com.
Thank you for listening to the Connected Insurance Podcast. If you found this episode informative, please share it with your peers and colleagues. Explore the Connected Insurance family of resources for insurance agents and brokers by visiting agencyrevolution.com and clicking media. Subscribe and get updates delivered right to your inbox. New episodes every Wednesday.